question of candidate health is being highlighted in the presidential campaign after an incident involving Hillary Clinton over the weekend. The Democratic candidate was forced to leave a 9/11 memorial ceremony abruptly and had to be helped into her car after signs of illness. Her campaign initially said that she was overheated, but her physician later released a statement saying she'd been diagnosed with pneumonia on Friday.
Clinton's opponent, Donald Trump, responded to the incident, telling Fox News in an interview that health is definitely an issue in this election. Both candidates have released a limited amount of information about their medical history, though Trump says he took a medical exam last week and will release the results when the numbers come in. All of this raises broader questions about how the health of our candidates may influence our opinions and our votes, and how much we, the public, have the right to know about this usually private information.
Melissa Miller joins us now. She's an associate professor of political science at Bowling Green State University in Ohio. Melissa, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So how important is a candidate's health to voters, do you think, when it comes to deciding who they're going to vote for?
Of all of the factors that predict presidential vote choice in any given year, I'd say the health of the candidates is probably not at the top of the list. Despite all of the media attention this is getting, and it's definitely an important issue, but the big predictor of vote choice is, of course, the person's partisanship. The Clinton health scare, I don't think is going to, she's not going to lose her supporters. She's not going to lose the solid Democrats who would be in her camp and vote for her no matter what. But I think the fact that Trump was already trying to make an issue of her health suggests that in a close election, these kinds of things that have to do with candidate health or candidate character or one candidate makes a gaffe, if it's a close election, and this one may well be, certainly here in Ohio, these issues are what keep the candidates up at night, hopefully not making them ill. But, the campaign staffs worry about perception. And so, this is something that the Clinton campaign needs to address and address quickly.
And one of the critiques of the way the whole thing had been handled, and they've, of course, said this was not handled in the best possible way by us, but they have been accused of, keeping something secret that maybe didn't have to be secret, which is a charge that she's been sort of plagued with this whole campaign, that there's too much secrecy.
That's right. So I think there are really two ways in which this development can harm the campaign. And one is what you just mentioned, that the perception, beyond whether there's a real health scare here for her or not, is that they didn't handle it well. They kept the information to themselves, and they waited until basically they had to say something. So she got the diagnosis on Friday and kept her schedule, and it wasn't until she had to leave the 9/11 memorial event and the video of her slumping at the, by the car and being held up went viral. And so now they had to address it. And what it does is feed that pre-existing narrative that the Clintons are secretive and the Clintons aren't forthcoming. And that's unfortunate. Now, I'll tell you that, my guess is any candidate, doesn't necessarily, leaving the campaign trail is not something any candidate wants to do unless it's for a really good reason. So I think, given what we know about her and her drive, I suspect that they thought they could power through it. That didn't turn out to be the case, and now it feeds this pre-existing narrative that they withheld information. But I think the second problem politically that it causes is that Donald Trump was already trying to make Clinton's health an issue. And until today, it was kind of an effort that was on the fringes. He kept trying to bring it up, but for the most part, there was really nothing convincing to the allegations. In fact, many accused Trump of trying to manufacture the story. Well, now, that it's come to this, and it's come to the video of having to leave the 9/11 event, again, what it does is it takes what was kind of a minor annoyance of Trump, right, trying to criticize her and question her health, is now a mainstream news story. So the Clinton campaign needs to figure out quickly how to deal with this.
We're talking with political scientist Melissa Miller about the issue of candidate health in the presidential race and how much it matters. Does it influence the vote? And what about keeping things, you know, under wraps for a little while as they resolve? Or does the public really have a right to know? And I want to get into that next, Melissa. I mean, does the public have a right to know? This is a candidate, whether it's Hillary Clinton in this case or Donald Trump, who some have been upset because his doctor's letter was not very thorough, talking about his health, or very scientific or doctorly in a way, to use a term. I mean, do we have a right to know? This is typically something that is confidential between a patient and their physician. How much do we get to be privy to?
I think, you know, you can make an argument both ways on that, right? Does the public have a right to know? You know, arguably, yes, given that we're choosing the president of the United States. You know, this person will be the leader of the free world. This person will have incredible power. This person will have access to the nuclear codes. And so I think that's why there has been a tradition that has developed over time in which the candidates running for president, particularly the major party nominees during the fall election campaign, do release their health information. And that's what has made this 2016 election kind of different, because Trump, as you point out, Veronica, released a very short, brief letter with no specifics from his doctor. Clinton released a two-page summary, so slightly more information, but neither candidate was nearly as forthcoming as the two candidates in 2008. At that time, Barack Obama's doctor offered a 276-page report about then-Senator Barack Obama, and John McCain, who had had several brushes with skin cancer, he released 1,200 pages of medical history. So following on that, it was already, I thought, sort of a problem for both campaigns that neither was being forthcoming. Now, the flip side of this that concerns me is that if we're demanding that our candidates must release their medical records, or at least detailed summaries of their medical history, at what point does it seem so invasive that fewer and fewer people are willing to run for president? Or they're just projecting, like if they're considering running for mayor or city council or state representative, and observing a campaign at the presidential level, which is highly visible and seems to, you know, not only be pretty negative, but also like delving into the private medical history, I worry that it could have a chilling effect on people's willingness to throw their hat in the ring. And if there's one thing we know from Americans at all ends of the political spectrum, we want more candidates. We want more good quality candidates. So I do worry about a possible chilling effect when it appears that to run for office, you really have to, you know, your life then becomes an open book.
Is this special circumstances, though? I mean, these are two candidates who are among the oldest ever candidates to run for president. Hillary Clinton is 68. Donald Trump is 70. So in that case, maybe there should be more scrutiny about how healthy they are.
You know, it's interesting because one of the instances that comes to mind for me historically when it wasn't health, but it was age that came up, and that was in 1984 when Democrat Walter Mondale tried to make an issue of Ronald Reagan's age and kind of implicitly implying, like, you know, do we want someone of this age, you know, to serve a second term? And at that time, though, it wasn't about illness, it was about age. And Ronald Reagan famously quipped during a presidential debate when the age issue was raised. Ronald Reagan said in the presidential debate that he would not exploit his opponent's youth and inexperience, thus neutralizing the whole question of his age and health. That's not going to happen in 2016, I don't think, you know, because, you know, frankly, Trump had already made it an issue, and now Hillary Clinton does have a health issue. She has been diagnosed with pneumonia. And so I don't think the issue is going away. I'm not entirely sure how it's going to play out, to be honest with you. Trump is saying now he'll release more detailed information. And because the candidates are older, as you point out, arguably the public has more of a right to know. I mentioned earlier that Barack Obama released nearly 300 pages about his health. He was only 47 in 2008 when he ran for president.
Right, pretty
yet
different.
Released, right. he was so much younger, yet felt compelled to release that much information. So whether they should or not, whether it's right or wrong, unfortunately, you know, that's the tradition. So I think they're both going to face a lot of pressure. Now, I'll say one other thing, which is there's another condition when a candidate's health and their age becomes especially important, and that's when the public doubts the qualifications of the vice presidential nominee. So in 2008, when John McCain nominated Sarah Palin to be his vice presidential nominee, not only was McCain much older, he was 71 at the time, but many people were questioning the fitness of Sarah Palin to serve as president. And so his, you know, that may have been a contributing factor to this release of thousands of, you know, hundreds, I should say, of pages. I don't think we have that issue now. No one is really questioning the fitness of Mike Pence on the Republican side or Tim Kaine on the Democratic side, but that would be a factor if the vice presidential nominee is not considered ready, you know, to lead should they have to.
We're talking right now with political scientist Melissa Miller about the issue of candidate health in this year's presidential race, how much it matters, is it going to influence people's votes, and how much access we should have to this information.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is the health of the presidential candidate something that you are thinking about, worrying about this election cycle? Will it influence who you vote for? And how much medical info do we have a right to know about our presidential candidates? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation about candidate health in the presidential race. In a recent interview, Donald Trump said health is definitely an issue after Hillary Clinton left a 9/11 memorial service due to illness, later diagnosed as pneumonia. Our guest is Melissa Miller, Associate Professor of Political Science at Bowling Green State University.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Is the health of the candidates an issue for you? Does the fact that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are some of the oldest candidates to seek the highest office in the nation make you more concerned about their health and their ability to do the job of president? And is any of this actually going to influence who you vote for in November? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we'll take our first caller now. We've got Charlie with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I guess, you know, I think this is rather important because we know that Ronald Reagan was suffering from Alzheimer's in the second part of his second term of presidency. And it is concerning because it probably did affect not only the decisions for his own White House, but for the whole nation. But on top of that, we have to think that if Donald Trump was bringing up Hillary Clinton's health, we got to remember that she told us lies about her emails, so she probably is also lying about her health. If you can lie about the emails and obstruction of justice, you can lie about your health, and there might be issues that would affect how people vote.
Charlie, thanks a lot for the call. Let's start with Ronald Reagan there. I mean, that is something people consider. He's one of the presidents people point to when you look at health concerns. It may have had an influence. Apparently Alzheimer's takes these gradual changes over the course of decades, and did that
Correct.
Affect the way he ran for office? And then, of course, secondly, Charlie, getting it there, these issues of trust with Hillary Clinton.
Right. You know, and you know, we can look back historically and look at examples where voters didn't know. Potentially the Reagan example is a good one. I don't know off the top of my head when that diagnosis was and whether it truly was hidden from voters in 1984. But I'll give you another example. If you go back to 1992, Massachusetts Governor Paul Tsongas ran for president, and his physicians gave the impression that he'd been cured of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he actually died from it 5 years later. So I think there just certainly are going to be individuals who, you know, maybe they decide to run and find out later, or, you know, it's something that can affect, and certainly Charlie suggests this might affect his vote. So I think there are people who this information might affect their vote, although, again, I would argue that, like, party loyalty and the party that you typically vote for is going to be the biggest driver of your vote. But Charlie also pointed out that he thinks that Clinton maybe shouldn't be trusted with what she's now saying about her health. And whether she should or shouldn't is, you know, I'm not going to weigh in on that. I'm not, you know, that's for people to decide. But going back to how we started the segment, unfortunately for Clinton, this feeds the narrative that she can't be trusted. And because of these issues of trust, because of the ongoing email scandal, the level to which people can trust her is just simply on the minds of voters. And, you know, political consultants usually tell candidates, be as transparent as possible. And so that's what I would suggest they do at this point, precisely to put voters like Charlie at ease about such things, or at least make them feel like they're making a choice with full information.
Charlie, thanks a lot for that call. And we're going to go next to Margaret in Madison. Margaret, hi.
Hi. Say, I think history is full of examples of presidents having very serious illnesses. I mean, you clearly go back in time and think of Abraham Lincoln, suffered from depression. FDR went to great lengths to cover up his polio. JFK had Addison's disease. Eisenhower had heart trouble. I think it's very, very difficult to find out the truth about presidents' health because they will go to great lengths through their own physicians to cover it up. So I don't know if we're ever really going to have a clear picture on what any candidate's health is, because they're using their own physicians, and frankly, their advisors probably tell them to paint a picture of robust, good health.
Right. Good point, Margaret. I mean, everyone is going to want to appear as ruddy and healthy and robust as possible, so they're going to want to spin anything as something that's just a trifle, nothing to worry about, nothing to see here. So how are we ever really going to get the truth out of anybody?
I think Margaret makes an excellent point, and she pulled some examples I had in mind. Particularly, I was thinking about how Roosevelt had polio and was confined to a wheelchair, but many people didn't know it, certainly. So there are lots of good examples. And I actually like her insight about, like, the candidates then and now are definitely being advised to look healthy, to look, you know, that they're in their prime. And so, you know, irregardless of health, that's why you saw, I believe it was Ronald Reagan on his ranch riding on his horse and George W. Bush chopping wood. I think, the, you know, John F. Kennedy throwing a football. All of that where we see presidential candidates, like, you know, playing sports, it's about conveying health, vitality. There's an interesting little side then issue for a woman running for president. You know, I doubt we'd see Hillary Clinton or any other woman running for president throwing a football or throwing out the first pitch at a baseball game. So it does make it kind of a different question for women in terms of how they show that vigor and that vitality. But Margaret's right. There's not, in some ways, there's nothing new here, you know, in terms of candidates that do have health issues and their campaigns will try to make it appear that they're perfectly healthy.
We're talking with Melissa Miller right now from Bowling Green State University in Ohio, talking about the issues of candidates' health on both sides. And we're going to go right now to Sue in Door County. Sue, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. This kind of tags on what the guest was just saying. I think as I'm going to bring up the gender card, we women will work through any illness, even when you're feeling terrible, you get yourself out of bed, you get your kids ready for school, you go to work, you do the carpool, you do anything you need when you're feeling terrible. I think most of us would agree that our men, when they don't feel well, will hang out on the couch and watch TV. So the fact that Hillary went to the 9/11 memorial service with pneumonia, she should be getting accolades that she did it. Not being condemned for going or keeping it a secret.
That's a point some people have made. Of course, a lot of people would disagree about men lying on the couch, I bet. Probably my husband is one of them. But Sue, to your point, then, look, she showed up. She was really sick.
Yeah.
She had pneumonia, and there she was. She's tough. So what about that narrative? Is that going to, do you think, convince people, too? Is there something to it?
Well, I would just tell Sue that, and she may have heard Tim Kaine, who gave a press conference this afternoon, Clinton's vice presidential nominee, in which he basically said, you know, we all know Hillary. We know her drive, basically. So, you know, sort of like, it really came as no surprise that she was going to kind of power through this. And one other interesting thing he said was that when he first ran for public office at the local level, he was diagnosed with pneumonia while campaigning, and had to make that decision whether to press on or not. So I thought that was just a fascinating parallel. But I think Sue's point might be important for the Clinton campaign to think about right now. So, you know, what's happened has happened, and they need to try to figure out how to put this issue to rest, put voters' minds at rest. And I think emphasizing that, you know, it's her commitment to campaigning, it's her commitment to the American people, it's her commitment to, you know, setting the country on the right track and so forth, is why, you know, she didn't want to step off the trail immediately. So perhaps Sue needs to go into a career as a political advisor. However, I will also say, and as you point out, Veronica, it's still a little tricky because you don't want to suggest that only women, right, would, you know, that a man would have, you know, jumped right off the trail. You know, it does get tricky when you get into that territory about, you know, how women are treated versus men or how women are act versus men. But I think Sue's insight is an important one.
Melissa, we leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
That was Melissa Miller, Associate Professor of Political Science at Bowling Green State University in Ohio, and she joined us there to talk about the issue of candidate health in this year's presidential race.